For my non-Montana mammal this semester, I chose the sea otter in Hydra lutris. Sea otters are in the order Carnivora and family Mustelidae. The defining features of this family include their signature tube-like bodies and short legs, well-developed carnassial teeth, and their last molar having a 90-degree hourglass shape. Sea otters are the only mustelid that has adapted to a marine form. As well, sea otters are the only living organism from the genus Enhydra, with two extant relatives, Enhydra macrodonta and Enhydra revii. Sea otters have three subspecies, which are all based on where they reside. Enhydra lutris lutris is the Asian sea otter, or Russian sea otter, found in coastal Russia and Asia. Enhydra lutris kionii is the northern sea otter, and is found in coastal Alaska and Washington. Finally, Enhydra lutris nereus is the southern or Californian sea otter, which can be found on California's southern coast. Sea otters inhabit these cold coastal waters of the northern Pacific, with temperatures reaching near 0 degrees Celsius. Thus, the otters have adaptations to survive not only in salt water, but also in a cold climate. Living in an aquatic environment presents many challenges. Sea otters' eyes can function above and below water with a thin lens to protect them. The otters also have a very well-developed tapetum, like that of other nocturnal species, which helps them to improve their vision at night. Their vision underwater also is not the best, and so vision is not fully relied on for underwater foraging. That being said, sea otters are almost entirely obligate hunters of sea urchin, which are found at the bottom of sea floors in kelp forests. Consumption of urchins is closely related to the health and existence of kelp forests. They have not retained their carnassial teeth, interestingly, instead rely on bunionaut molars and cheek teeth. Otters use these large flat molars to crush shells at a wide jaw gap angle. If there is anything the sea otters cannot break open with their jaws, they will use rocks as tools to smash open their prey. They have some of the most specialized forelimbs that allow them to do so. Furthermore, sea otter scapulas are reduced as they have little need for terrestrial movement. Otters also do not have clavicles. This allows for them to reach any part of their body for the much important grooming. To capture their prey, they must be able to dive deep underwater. Otters can reach depths of up to 100 meters. To get that deep, they use large, flattened hind limbs for propulsion and a wider tail to stabilize themselves. They also have shortened vertebrae that allow for undulatory movement. To find prey underwater, the otters use highly sensitive paws to feel around for their prey. They do possess vibrissae, but there appears to be no known function of it. Sea otters also possess a breathing system like that of other terrestrial mammals. They rely on large lungs to preserve oxygen for dives. Additionally, they have a compressible thorax, which allows them to avoid barotrauma. Their large lungs also help with buoyancy on top of the water, as sea otters don't possess any blubber, a common way to stay afloat and warm in most other marine mammals. Because of this lack of blubber, sea otters use other adaptations to stay warm. The sea otter's metabolism is 3 times faster than that of similarly sized terrestrial mammals. This allows them to occupy a wide thermal neutral zone. Additionally, they have the densest fur of any animal, with over 1 million hairs per square inch in parts of their bodies. To stay warm, the otters must stay dry, though. They have oil-producing glands that, along with constant grooming, keeps them dry. To really stay warm, though, sea otters will be seen constantly rolling. This introduces air into the fur, which acts as an insulator. This became a major issue in the spring of 1989 when oil tanker Exxon Valdez hit a reef in Prince William Sound, Alaska. This caused the release of 16,000 to 21,000 gallons of crude oil into the environment. Much of the marine wildlife was impacted by this disaster. Sea otters became covered in oil, which prevented oxygen from being able to enter their fur. This resulted in many otters dying due to hypothermia. Another possible future issue may arise because of climate change and warming sea temperatures. It has been observed that sea otters have a loss of buoyancy in greater water temperatures. This loss of buoyancy would also indicate a loss of their fur's thermoregulatory abilities. These threats could pose an issue to sea otter in a warming environment. The only major adaptations for sea otters to survive in a higher salinity conditions of the ocean is large lobed kidneys, which concentrate urine, allowing them to drink and process salt water. Sea otters have no specialized adaptations for hearing. With that being said, the otters have some scent recognition, with males seen tracking females in estrus and in social settings when otters are greeting each other. This is a good segue into the next topic, sea otter sociality and mating systems. Interestingly, interspecific communication and interactions between otters is quite limited. Male and female sea otters socially interact exclusively during mating. Breeding males will occupy a territory which may overlap with multiple females, where non-breeding males, and occasionally some breeding males, will form bachelor rafts, a group of sea otters linked together in a floating mass. Such rafts can be comprised of up to 100 individuals. Even with these large numbers on rafts, it is rare to see interactions among the male otters. Most sea otter sociality comes from pups who live off their mother, mostly floating on her belly. Sea otters are polygynous, with female sea otters typically having only one offspring at a time, who is precocial. These offspring require immense energetic demands, which can strain mothers, even leading to death. It is not possible for sea otter females to care for more than one pup at a time. Lactation requires 3 to 4 times the amount of energy that is usually used. This high energetic use happens especially towards the end of lactation and pup dependency. This has been termed as end lactation syndrome and is one of the major causes of female sea otter death. Female sea otters will start breeding at around 4 years old. They have a gestation period of around 200 days with a 3-month period of delayed implantation. The pups are dependent on their mothers for up to 6 months. If pups stay longer than 6 months, it is unlikely that that pup will be able to survive on its own. Once the pups leave, the mothers will reproduce again within only 2 to 14 days. One of the few sounds that sea otters can make is pups screaming at their mothers. This highly annoying, high-pitched sound can sometimes be heard from kilometers away. Here is a recording of such sounds. Sea otter populations are currently much lower than they were historically. In the 1800s, the fur trade resulted with an estimated 500,000 sea otters being killed. Globally, sea otters are listed by the IUCN as endangered, while in North America, the southern sea otter is listed as threatened. Currently, climate change and fisheries are two main threats to sea otters. These threats largely impact their food sources and habitat. As well, they are threatened by pollution of toxoplasma, a parasite from domestic cats that causes significant mortality in the southern sea otters, typically leading to fatal brain infections. Their role as a keystone species makes these threats particularly concerning for the health of the entire marine ecosystem. Sea otters implement a control on the urchins they eat. Without otters, sea urchins will extirpate all kelp in the kelp forests, thus leading to the collapse of the marine ecosystem that kelp forests provides. Through legal protections, habitat restoration of kelp forests, rehabilitation programs, research, public education, and exploration of reintroduction into historic ranges, large-scale conservation management can help to protect sea otters and the ecosystem that they hold in balance.